All I know is that when this Negroni is empty, the podcast is over.
I didn't want to go up and get another Negroni, so I made it like a triple.
I know. Look at this.
Oh, nice.
Whoa, that's... You pour drinks like my dad.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Tableside Mashed Potatoes. I'm one of your hosts, Derek.
I'm Scott.
Oh, we're doing... I'm Peter.
Yeah, we got to do the huge. Even
the huge was first and last name.
Oh, is it?
No, that was before they knew us. Now everybody knows us.
Oh, right. Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay.
Familiar now.
Yeah.
They're all
called P-Dog.
Yeah. Hey, oh, hey. Hey, welcome to Tableside Mashed Potatoes. This is Dizzle here with Gotti Too Hottie and
P-Bishy Kardashian.
P-Kardashian, did you say? The three of us were all working remotely, and now we're recording the podcast remotely. We're usually in the same room. We're pouring Negronis for each other, but now we're just pouring them for ourselves.
We're using Zoom. It's a free version, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping for a sponsorship.
Very likely. But we're using the free version, and we're saying when we first got on, hey, this is the first like close to natural conversation that we've had since this quarantine, because last night we were all on this group chat, which was exactly as I feared it would be, just random clips of people trying not to interrupt each other for an hour.
Yeah, it was like the strategy meetup with about 12 people all talking at once.
Oh, it was terrible. I mean, and I love hanging out with all those people, but it was everybody trying to talk at once because of the latency. And I think there's probably a maximum level of people you can have in a video online group chat where you're going to have a reasonable conversation, right? As opposed to people just talking over each other.
Yeah. Can you imagine having one of these Zoom chats with like a client and there are 20 stakeholders?
I think I've had that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Was it a nightmare?
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. So,
yeah, it's weird to think of like full staff meetings or like big get-togethers. There's Platform Calgary put one on today. I don't know if anyone jumped in.
Did you jump in?
No, I wanted to. But do you remember what the name of it was? Because that was pretty funny.
Platform Calgary had the Onnami event.
What is that?
Which is Japanese for drinking online, where they just, so they at 3 o'clock, they invited the public just to join this conference call and just have a few drinks and chat.
I think it's great that they already had a word for that. But there's a lot of drinking online now.
Oh yeah. I've had a couple of those just this week. So this makes sense, especially with what's going on right now. And especially since the three of us are working remotely and we're podcasting remotely, that we talk about remote working. Yeah, so today's episode is going to be about remote working, you know, some tips for it, how to stay productive, how to help yourself mentally and physically as well.
Well, I don't think any of us are necessarily veterans or experts at remote working, but certainly there's been a lot of talk about this lately. And you know, obviously all of us have the ability to work from home from time to time, so it allows us the ability to try out different things and go, oh, here, you know, I was way more productive today because I did X or whatever it might be. And so I think it's, you know, my challenge is not just the remote working thing, but just the fact that you know, we're all confined to, you know, our homes for the most part. That's challenging beyond work. So finding ways to make sure your mental health is not suffering. I mean, it may suffer a little bit, but, you know, there are things that we can be doing in terms of routine and schedule or relaxation, taking breaks, meditation, going for a walk, that type of stuff, I think is really important because it, you know, when you're working from home, it blurs the lines between when you're at work and when you're not. And it can be really easy to either A, just start spanning out your breaks and not being very productive, or on the other side of it, you don't really know when to shut it off right? Because nothing's changed in your environment. There's no sort of commute home or anything. It's challenging, but I think rituals are important, right? Like getting up and brushing your teeth and getting dressed and having breakfast or coffee or whatever it is that you're going to do, and make it seem like you're going to, like, I've even joked around like about like leaving through the front door and then coming through the back door and going to a different room, right? Like, just, it's, I'm not really literally doing that, but like sort of that idea, so that everyone else who's in the house recognizes that, no, okay, well, this was before work, this was after work, and now I'm at work. And just because I'm home doesn't mean I'm not at work, right?
Yeah, I think it's important to have that conversation up front, because it's a slippery slope. The second you start breaking and hanging out with everyone in the middle of the day, it can become the expectation, especially with kids, right? So having a bit of a schedule and sticking to it, especially in the early days, because it's unusual for everyone. I even found it weird today just being amongst a family, but not really interacting that much. I'm just kind of heads down. The headphones helped because they're noise canceling. You can just kind of zone out as best you can. And it feels really weird, but you know, I like to think it's better than being away all day. At least you're still there, but it is strange.
Yeah. There's something to be said that even though we're still at work, but being able to be closer to your family is kind of nice as well. I mean, the kids are home every day now because school's canceled for you guys.
Yeah.
But it's nice to not be able to have to worry about like daycare or anything like that, or who's picking them up from school and whatnot.
Yeah, it's weird this time. Like, I've worked remote quite a bit, but this is different because you can't go out to the bar afterwards with people. You can't kind of go out for coffees and you can't go out and meet clients.
I've saved so much money working from home. I swear I'm making more money just
staying. No, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think it's important to look after your social life, because it's going to have a heavy hit here. Remote working is lonely at the best of times. And now we can't even go to co-work spaces, can't do anything. So you really do have to, I think of unusual ways to socialize. So one of the cool things I saw, having a virtual lunch hour. So you basically have an open channel and anyone can drop by and just say hi to the people maybe that you used to talk to on a virtual.
Yeah, I think that's super cool and super important. Not every conversation you're used to having is completely project or work related. We all have relationships. We spend 8 hours a day with each other. So, you know, making time for non-work talk, or, you know, just that, in order to maintain the culture you've spent so much time in a company building and fostering, I think it's really important to be able to make that time to be able to connect as human beings. Let's put work aside. Let's have a drink or whatever, and just talk about how we're feeling. This sucks. Or, hey, I found this has been really helpful, or whatever it is.
We're lucky in a way that these tools have gone to this point where Teams and Slack and all these tools available to us. I think it's important to pick the right tool for the right job to some degree too, right? So webinars, you know, if you're going to have 100 people coming in to listen to someone, don't use Zoom, use a webinar tool or something like that, right? So, but they're all available, which is great. Probably the best time ever to have to do something like this from an online point of view.
Yeah. Let's talk about communication. What are you guys finding? Are you guys finding any difficulties in communicating with the team or with clients because you're not face to face with them all the time? Or are there any tips that we can give our listeners? Well, the three of us. In regards to listeners. Yeah. Scott doesn't listen.
You're still assuming
that you listen. Yeah, two listeners.
Peter, I know you listen. I see downloads coming from your IP address.
You know his IP address?
Yeah,
I listen to every one of about 10 times.
Yeah.
And it's mostly just to get our numbers up.
Because you're listening going, I should have said that.
Oh, yeah. He usually just listens to himself too. Derek's talking.
Just mutes it.
Peter's actually been talking about, hey, can I start editing the podcast just so he can like turn his shit up?
I'm laughing, but you don't hear me contradicting you.
Totally. So communication tips. Let's talk about communicating with your team.
Yeah, I think the bigger thing is the notion of working in a creative services firm is that the magic comes from sort of the creative collaboration, this people all being together in the same spot. And, you know, you might pass somebody in the hallway and have a conversation, or you might see something on somebody's screen over their shoulder, and that might spark an idea and people start talking. And I am 100% have felt that, you know, that is non-negotiable in the past. But what I'm seeing, especially now, and tapping into sort of the creative service firms that are distributed workforces or, you know, have a large remote working culture, is that that's not necessary to having done great creative work. And there are ways around that. And yeah, I'm just finding it really interesting listening to people and reading and talking about how people are dealing with that sort of lack of like interpersonal real-time human connection.
What I'm worried about more is the over-communication, because now everyone's remote. So the only options are to kind of flood the chance, so to speak. So I think there's a couple ways or a couple things that maybe we can do to help mitigate that to some degree, right? As far as, you know, you take email, like writing really clear subject lines so that people can scan them quickly and they don't, you know, if they're trying to find emails or they want to know if it's worth opening, they can kind of have a look from just even the subject line. I think when you're replying all or forwarding it to the whole office or whatnot, just really think it through, because does everyone need to see this? And same when you're replying, does everyone need to see your reply? Yeah. We're just, I think we're going to face a river of stuff. So it's just finding a way to keep super organized, use the right channels for the right jobs, and maybe even figure out which things to ignore is going to be the bigger battle.
Yeah. And some other things too, with, you know, if you're using a conversation tool, if it's Skype for Business or if it's like Slack or what we use, Teams, is having like updating your status regularly. So I've been saying like, oh, if I'm going to be away on lunch, I might not respond to messages as quickly as I normally would, or provide answers as quickly as I normally would. So people aren't just sitting there waiting and hoping that I'm there, changing my status to away from the computer or away from the keyboard or whatnot. I think stuff like that's very helpful, and just kind of being over communicative in those terms, where it's just, if they need something from you right away and you're not there, they know you're not there.
There's something really interesting I thought that came out of this webinar that I was in today about remote working. And it was talking about the idea of shifting modes from sort of creative collaboration, sharing mode to heads down detail work mode, right? And we all know, regardless of what your role is in a firm, we all know what these types of modes are. And it was talking about the, you know, sort of the necessity then to be able to shift modes more discreetly, right? So right now I'm in sharing, collaboration, creativity, brainstorming mode, and we're doing that type of work with multiple people in, you know, a shared collaboration space like Mural or Figma or something along those lines, Whimsical maybe. And then the ability to be able to shift back into detail-oriented, heads down, okay, I'm going to work through this problem unilaterally. And so that, I think, is sort of cool, recognizing that, right? Because we don't really recognize that in a regular office setting. We're sort of shifting between those two modes all day with everyone around us. So someone may come up and ask us a question and we'll just jump into trying to figure something out. And then we'll go back to working on what we were previously doing. And it's just sort of like you're maintaining these two modes the entire day. Whereas with remote working, there may be pros and cons with it, but you're sort of forced to shift that mode into, okay, now I'm in don't disturb, I'm trying to work something out. Yeah. And later I'll be in let's collaborate type mindset.
Here's one of my tips.
You're so close to the
I'm
mic.
Done. Oh, sorry.
You're so close. Okay.
Here's one of this. My tips.
here's one of my tips. give us the tip.
Wait. Oh, God. Here's one of my tips for email, which, because I get so much, like, on average, I get about 10,000 emails a year, I think. Unopened emails. So if I were to answer all my emails, I'd never do anything else. So what I do is every time I see an email or every time I check my email, I just flag ones that I think I need to respond to. and I ignore the rest. And then at certain times of the
day, emails from Scott and Derek are ignored.
Yeah. Yeah. Those have a black flag.
I'm like, what should we do for lunch?
Yeah. 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 Those ones I pay attention to for sure. But yeah, just setting aside time to go back and answer the emails that you've already flagged that you need to respond to. That's, I've done that for years and it's been super good.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
The other thing too, I think is important is to start writing things down again. So writing down your tasks for the day, mm-hmm. writing down a schedule. Here's the schedule that I'm going to adhere to, and showing your family the tasks. Oh. You know, there's a bunch of theories around that. And Scott, I know you've done a bit of reading on this too. Like the one I use is the, I can't remember what it's called, but you star the one thing that you want to accomplish that day. You've got all your tasks, but mm-hmm. instead of trying to do them all or even prioritizing, I just star the one thing that if I just do this one thing, I'll be happy with the day. Mm-hmm. That's been also super helpful for me.
Oh. Jake Knapp wrote a book called Make Time, which talks about that, which is, you know, sort of your exactly what you said, Peter, which is, you know, out of the day. And this is broader. It's maybe not even that, you know, the one thing you need to get done today is work related. It may be something else, but making sure that you're able to go, this is my highlight for the day. This is the thing. This is the 90 minutes or whatever it's going to take to be able to get this one thing out today. And everything else that I do will sort of be slotted around this one sort of pillar thing that I need to get done.
Sometimes even when you have a task list, it's tempting to go knock off all the easy stuff.
Yeah. Because
you can cross them out and you may not get to the stuff that's actually important. And those keep carrying over day after day after day. So, yeah. You know, I think that approach really worked.
One thing I thought that was really important was because, again, now we're, and it's no different necessarily from the real-time in-person conversations that you have, but the idea of summarizing whatever the next steps are in writing. After we have a Teams or a Zoom chat, we may have multiple people talking in a digital platform and someone needs to own that conversation at the end, depending on what the conversation entails, maybe a project manager or account manager or a director of some sort, but being able to summarize what the next steps are for the people in there so that they have some form of written direction, because things can get lost really easy. And for some reason, it just feels like it's more easily lost in a digital conversation than it is in a real-time conversation.
Yeah, it's weird thinking that everything's kind of virtual and all in the cloud, so to speak. And I kind of cross over quite a bit to wanting to print things out sometimes just so I can get them away from the screen a little bit, because you're right. Like, we have so many communication tools that sometimes you lose threads of conversations all the time where it's like, yeah. Where was that? Was that in a Santa chat? Was that my text in email? Was that in Teams? Was Slack? Like, who knows, right? So
was that in a conversation, verbal conversation?
Yeah. Did I dream it?
Yeah. So that's one of the things where it's very important to choose the right platform for the right type of conversation. So, you know, tasks go in this channel.
Yep, completely.
Now, another thing, we talked a bit about, you know, your mental health, but your self-care is still important depending on what your workstation looks like. But if you're sitting in your kitchen or if you're sitting up at a desk that's facing right up against a wall there, still important to take some time for yourself. So kind of going back to the routine thing is making sure that you do have time blocked off where you can go have lunch or go for a walk. Or what my girlfriend's doing is every hour she'll do 1 minute plank just as a way to like get her heart rate going a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I haven't tested this out yet, but I think this one chorizo an hour is going to work out pretty good too.
One sausage an hour.
in mental health, like, who knows, like, I'm talking out my ass, but I do spend maybe 10 minutes at the beginning of each morning and trying to do a little bit of guided meditation or that type of thing. If I'm hoping to get back into it more with this time, because again, I do, you know, you hopefully can schedule your time perhaps a little easier, because I feel like there'll be less interruptions, so you should be able to get into some sort of rhythm if you're disciplined around it. So I am looking forward to introducing that.
Yeah, making sure you're getting some exercise when the weather starts getting better. Maybe go for a jog if you're into that kind of stuff. Or
I think that just comes back to having rituals, right? And again, whether it's your personal workout or dietary or mental health or whatever it is, rituals, but also your work rituals, what you would have normally done in the office. Yeah. Maybe there's ways you can create sort of a digital equivalent to that, right? So I think the cool thing about remote working, though, is, you know, this is the way of the future to a certain extent. You're never going to completely get away from human-to-human contact, and I don't think you should, but as technology improves, we're going to find that we can reach markets or talent or whatever it is from far beyond our own backyard. So we should be able to lean into leveraging the tools that allow us to be able to do that effectively. The flexibility involved, the leaning into asynchronous communication versus real-time communication or some of these things, like, they seem right now, because we're not used to them, like roadblocks. But I think if you do them right, like a lot of companies already are, that you can turn them into strengths. And I think that's where the opportunity lies. Again, we're not ever going to probably be as a company or an organization 100% distributed workforce. We value the human connection that we all get when we get together. But I think this is actually good in showing us that, you know, it's not 100% necessary all the time, and that you can get great thinking and collaboration and all of these types of things through technology and remote working as well.
These are unprecedented times, and I don't think this is version of remote working, but it's to an extreme. I think when you strip out the fear and everything that the virus is causing around this and just look at remote working, this is great practice for the future, like you said. And I'm curious to see when we do go back to normal, and we will, how much of the learnings and how much of this kind of remains. Are some companies going to be more open to this or get stronger, like you said, because they've experienced this and realize it's not perhaps as worrisome as they may have thought it was, or there's a level of trust now in the employees and the employers that is built through this.
One thing that came up when we were in that meetup chat yesterday was people are finding it hard to, people are working longer now because they're finding it hard to log off. Everything is just like at their reach, where they can just answer any questions or work on anything after hours. So I think one important thing, and that again goes back to the ritual. I think this whole podcast theme is just based on having
a ritual
when you're remote working. But is 5 o'clock, if you don't have anything that's an emergency or something or a deadline, is log off and try to go do something else.
Unplugging at this time is so important, not just from the computer, but from the just never-ending news stream of bad news. I think it's more important than ever to just have like unplugged time, and it's been hard up till now, but it's more important than ever. We can go outside anytime we want and go for walks and walk the dog and go for a bike ride soon and play frisbee and all those great things. So, you know, I think as the spring comes, it's going to feel lighter, hopefully, in some degree, right? Obviously, things are going to get worse, but there's other things that might get better.
The only issue with playing frisbee, though, is that after every catch, you have to wash your hands.
Yeah.
Just put it upside down and fill it full of hand sanitizer.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. I'm going to get a first stab at the remote podcast. And I'm psyched that we're still trying to do it. That, you know, we're not letting a little thing like, you know, not actually being within 6 feet of each other stop us from producing content.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's been fun. Like I said, the first kind of real conversation that I've had online, it feels.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that everybody is, keeping well, and they're washing their hands and not touching their face or
I'm touching your face right now.
Gosh, that finger is so weird to look at on the screen. Oh, God, please stop that. Oh. Well, how'd that happen?
Gross.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Cheers.
Yep.
Bye. You've been